All right, complicated story, but a good one coming up. Olympus, the Japanese camera company, was founded in 1919 with the goal of making microscopes. It succeeded. The name Olympus is as likely to bring to mind a Japanese camera these days as it is a mountain in Thessaly in Macedonia. Olympus admitted this week to a decades-long scheme to hide almost $1 billion in investment losses. It's Japan's biggest financial scandal since the bubble of the 1990s. And Michael Woodford, part of the story here is how difficult it is to find out even what's going on in your own company. Is that fair to say, Michael?
Yeah, good morning, John. Absolutely. That's an understatement.
Michael Woodford is former president and CEO of Olympus Corporation Operations. What did you try to discover, and how did you get some suspicion that $1 billion was being sort of shielded and hidden from investors and from the public?
Well, I was running Olympus's entire operations in Europe until the 1st of April, when I was appointed the president of the worldwide Olympus Group, and was enjoying taking this sleepy corporation and making it a more dynamic and profitable one, until the end of July, when I suddenly started receiving emails. I was visiting a German company and was told that an article had been published by a journal called Factor, a niche publication in Japan, with revelations about strange M&A activity. And the allegations were very, very serious. That was at the end of July, and that's where it all started.
And M&A activity, that's mergers and acquisitions activity. And we should say you're still with Olympus, right?
Yes, I'm still a director. They fired me as the president and as the CEO of the corporation, not the operations, but of the entire corporation, when I asked for the resignation of the chairman and the vice president, who I'd seen as principal figures in getting the company into this terrible mess. But they didn't like that.
Well, it's an amazing story, and you're right at the center of it. Michael Woodford, their former president and CEO of Olympus Corporation. Louise Story joins us now, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. With Michael on the line, Louise, and I don't want to get you guys into a debate at all, what is the just overall significance of what's happened to Olympus, such a huge corporation in Japan, and how quickly did things unravel, Louise?
Well, you know, once these revelations came out, their stock started plummeting. It's still going down a lot now because we're hearing that law enforcement officials all over the globe, including in the United States, are looking at this. But, you know, a bigger potential impact here is Michael having come forward. You know, it's very rare that you see whistleblowers successfully come forward. A lot of people in corporations are scared to come out. There's a lot of restrictions on employees coming forward. There aren't that many whistleblower protections. So I'm just curious, Michael, how you made the decision to come forward and whether you were afraid that you would be blamed or how you evaluated that.
Michael?
I mean, it's been a pummeling time and a traumatic one. But when I wrote six letters copying the whole board and also the last three to the Ernst & Young partners, including the senior global partner and their heads in Europe, America, and Asia. But when you start to get back answers, if I then just became passive and didn't do anything with those answers, then I would have been complicit. And I couldn't do that. The more questions I asked, and I only got answers because I threatened to resign and make public it was over serious concerns over governance. That's how I actually got the answers, which allowed me to take it forward, ultimately commissioning PricewaterhouseCoopers to do an independent evidencing of what I'd found.
And part of why Louise Story's question is so good, Michael Woodford, is that the issues of corporate governance and whether you would be, as you say, complicit or specifically liable for what had happened if you didn't act was unclear. I mean, you could have shielded yourself within the company.
I could have gone quietly and with a lot of money, and no doubts about that. But you have to look in the mirror and you have to not lose your orientation between right and wrong. I'd twice reported in Europe one issue of corruption and one issue of bribery. So they knew my form. They just didn't know, this is my board colleagues, that I would find out. And the real hero in this is a Japanese colleague who is anonymous at the moment, but he was the whistleblower who went to the Japanese magazine Factor. And I thought that would have been it, but no one in Japan listened. It has 30,000 subscribers, but no one responded. The shareholders didn't, and it wasn't picked up by the mainline press. And with Louise on, I must say, Louise, the New York Times, Hiroku Tabashi, one of your colleagues in Tokyo, and Ben Protes in New York, have been absolutely fantastic. And the New York Times have found out many factors, as has the Wall Street Journal and the Financial Times. It was the Western media which led this. I mean, the Financial Times broke it. The Financial Times spoke to the Japanese Prime Minister, who then commented on, in an unprecedented way, to tell the world that Olympus is not typical of corporate Japan.
Well, we love Louise also, and we don't want to embarrass her necessarily, Michael Woodford, but you're spot on there. Louise's story, thinking about the Olympus story from the perspective of corporate culture in Japan, how does this change things? And give us any details about the unraveling that maybe we don't have up to this point.
Well, you know, it raises several questions. First of all, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about how this was done through mergers and acquisitions. And so I think this is a story that goes way beyond Japan. You know, mergers and acquisitions have been a huge they were kind of a bubble before the financial crisis, and they've started to come back some. And I think as you look at future deals announced, you know, if two big companies merge or another company acquires a smaller company, regulators are going to be looking at that a lot tougher, because Olympus gives us a roadmap here on how a company can hide losses by buying other companies. And so that will be something all of the investment banks, the Goldman Sachs, the Morgan Stanley's of the world are going to have to probably document their advisory work a lot more carefully when they help companies out there acquire other companies.
It's Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. How can it be the case, Michael Woodford, that you can hide money when you buy corporations? How does that work?
I mean, again, without becoming too technical, I mean, as Louise is saying, there's questions. Two of the world's largest four accountancy firms, KPMG and Ernst & Young, have been signing off in Tokyo Olympus's consolidated accounts. What sort of oversight can exist if you have these huge bogus transactions? You mentioned a billion. It's a billion and a half, actually. There was $687 million of bogus fees paid to the Cayman Islands in relation to an acquisition of a British company. That bogus fees, they admit to that now. And $920 million for three Mickey Mouse companies. And you gave the introduction of Olympus. It's a high-technology healthcare and consumer electronics. These companies were a mail-order face cream and microwave dishes. I mean, it was ludicrous with no turnover. So, you know, there's big questions about how the partnerships, these global partnerships, are working in Japan. How could that be? I can't believe that would be the same. The UK partners of both KPMG and Ernst & Young's actually qualified the British subsidiary involved, Gyrus Group Limited, saying they couldn't identify if there was a related party. That dropped out on consolidation. Why?
Interesting. Interesting questions. And, of course, the portrait of the dark side of what it means to be a corporate conglomerate in the 21st century. Michael Woodford blew the whistle on Olympus Corporation's two decades of allegedly shady accounting practices. The company has taken a huge hit. He's a former CEO of Olympus's operations in Europe. He's still with the company. And Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks for helping us on a very technical but very interesting story, Michael and Louise.
Thank you.
My pleasure.